Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be taking up part two today of dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression and despair in our lives. And we know many, many people here in America are afflicted with this, not just here in America, but in all places. And so it's a subject that we're going to have to deal with, depression and despair, all the days of our life. And yet God has a plan. He has a final say in this situation. He has the final say in how you can overcome despair and depression in your life. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Scripture from His Word and be mindful of the fact that God knows that we are made of just dust, that we are men, and as men that we suffer highs and lows, we suffer despair and depression, we suffer all kinds of sickness and heartache and brokenness, and yet even with all of that, God has a plan for us that we can rise above that, that we can be victorious, that we can be conquerors, that we can come out of the situations of life praising the Lord and not fear moving forward. And so this is God's plan for our life, and we're going to look at this plan here today. Well, God does not give us a spirit of fear, and one of the great aspects, the debilitating aspects of despair and depression and anxiety is that we start to fear the future. We fear situations that we feel uncomfortable in, or that we don't know who's going to be there or how we're going to react, how they're going to react. And so we start to fear situations. We start to fear going to work. We start to fear meeting certain people or seeing our family or our ex-spouse or whatever it is. And so we just want to look at that fear in the eye and know that God wants you to overcome your fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." And so you start speaking that over yourself. You start speaking the blessings of God over your life. You start speaking, "I have a sound mind. I do not have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind." And when you do that, then you will start to encourage your own self. You start to walk in boldness and in confidence. And I would suggest you write down some scripture. Go through the Bible, write down some scripture, put them on a note card. If you're dealing with despair and depression and anxiety, put those scripture on a note card, carry them around in your purse or in your pocket, and you start to recite those and speak the blessings of the Lord over your life. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and so when you speak blessings over your life, you're asking the Lord then to fulfill those blessings. You're expecting the Lord to fulfill those blessings. One of the great ones, of course, is Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And when you start to speak that and believe it, and you start to proclaim that over your life and decree that over situations in your life, that "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and that with God nothing is impossible, with man many things are impossible, and much that we attempt is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And so with Him on our side, we can proceed into situations in life with boldness and with confidence, and we can proceed and be victorious in the ways that the devil tries to take us down. Well, 2 Corinthians 10:4 talks about the weapons of our warfare, which I've talked about in the past weeks, the spiritual weapons that we have. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that is, are not fleshly, "but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Well, that's a lot to consider. There's a lot of messages in those passages of Scripture, but what Paul is saying here is that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly. We don't have to resort to gun violence. We don't have to resort to picking up a machete and going after our enemy to chop their hands off or chop their head off. We can just rely on the weapons of warfare that God has given us, the spiritual weapons and the armor that God has given us to protect us And if you don't know what those are, I'd suggest you go to the radio archives on my website, gathertheoutcast.com, listen to those messages on spiritual warfare, on spiritual weapons, on the armor of God. But just briefly, I'll say that the weapons that we have in our arsenal that are very effective against the enemy are, first of all, prayer, and then secondly, Bible study and taking God's word into our heart. And third, it is the fellowship of the saints, the gathering together of the saints for encouragement and to be blessed by seeing other people and encouraging other people in their walk with the Lord. And then number four is praise and worship. We worship the Lord even when we're in the valley. We worship Him when we're on the mountain. We worship Him when we're in between. And you give God thanks and you give Him the worship that He is due, and your spirit will start to be lifted, your countenance will start to be lifted. And then fifth, we have service in the kingdom. Find something to do to help other people, find something to do to step out and get out of your own comfort zone and go help somebody who is in worse condition than you, and volunteer if you have to, or go on a mission trip, sign up for something to bless other people and to move forward into the kingdom by service to others. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And then Paul goes on to say there in Corinthians, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, this is how it works, beloved. The devil will come to you, and he will start to speak to your mind, and he'll say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not capable, you're not able, God isn't big enough to take care of you, or God doesn't know what is best for you. And he'll call God a liar, he'll say that God can't take care of you, and after a while those thoughts start to reverberate in your mind, and then could be a temptation, pornography, or temptation of adultery, or temptation of drugs or alcohol, or those kinds of things. And the devil will say, you can't make it another day without this, or you have to have these drugs, or you have to cheat to get ahead. Whatever it is, the devil will tempt you. It will start with one thought. It always starts with one thought, and the battlefield is the mind. And what Paul is saying is that we need to cast down every argument that the devil brings up against us, and every high thing, in other words, every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And if you go back to Isaiah 14 and you study about the fall of Satan and his desire to take over God's throne, his desire to exalt himself, his own self, above the mountain of God, and that is the way it started with Satan, and he will bring that same thought pattern into your life, that you need to cheat, that you need to steal, that you need to do drugs, that you need to engage in pornography or adultery or whatever. And God says through Paul that if you take every high thing and you cast them down, and you cast them down by speaking against them and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you know by your conscience, through your conscience, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you, you know what God wants for your life, you know God's plan for your life, and so you start to speak that plan, and you bring that into the argument against Satan, and you say, Satan, you leave. Satan, you have no place or authority in my life. You have nothing in me and no authority in me. And you speak against that thought and take it captive through the obedience of Jesus Christ. And again, start speaking scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with God, nothing is impossible. And in Christ Jesus, I am a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. Just get some scripture and write them down and start to speak them. And speak them whenever the devil tempts you. Maybe it's something simple like quitting cigarettes or quitting drinking or some simple thing that you just need to get out of your life, and you need to be released so you can walk in freedom. And you know that it's a waste of money. You know it's keeping you from the Lord. It's separating you from God's plan for your life. And you speak against that. You tear down that stronghold and that argument that the devil brings against you. You tear it down and you give it over to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Well, secondly, besides fear, the devil just wears us down through the wearing of life through just the situations and the circumstances in life. Sometimes they just come at us, death in the family and separation, divorce, sickness, all these things tend to wear us down. And so the devil, when he gets you worn down physically and in spiritually, then he starts to make inroads into your life, and you're more susceptible then to fall prey to sin. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." And then Jesus said in verse 30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Beloved, if you think you're having struggles in your life and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you need to get yoked to Jesus. You need to get yoked to Him and put His yoke upon you. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You will not be burdened down with Him. And some of you out there listening to me today, you just need to humble yourself. You need to get down on your knees and make a confession of faith and say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior." You need to submit to a place that you've never been before, and that takes, granted, it takes a certain amount of faith and a certain amount of courage to do that, but I can guarantee you it will be the most courageous decision you ever made in your life. It will be the most exhilarating and uplifting decision you ever made in your life, and it will guarantee you a joy here on this earth, not only here on this earth to walk in the situations that you have here, but also it will bless you for all eternity. You will be with the saints in heaven for all eternity. So maybe that's what you need to do today. Get down on your knees and say, "Lord, I believe you are who you say you are. I accept you. I want you to love me. I love you, and I'm ready to serve you and keep your commandments." And so that is a situation that the devil uses and comes into our life to take advantage of us and to exploit our weariness and our fatigue. Galatians 6:9, Paul encourages the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And another aspect of that growing weary is we need to stay busy, in not just in busyness as in a religious spirit that we have to keep upholding some kind of laws and upholding ritual in our walk with the Lord, but we need to keep busy each day with some kind of vocation, some kind of work that God has given us. Many, many people here in America are in depression and in anxiety because they don't work. They've tried to figure out ways, and this is also from the devil. They've tried to figure out ways to make it through life without any kind of meaningful work and have no passion for anything. They get up each day and there's no real purpose to their life, and so they are confused and they grow weary, and so they turn to drugs to try to give them some type of exhilaration and some type of lift. So it is very important that we move into work, whatever God has called us to do. I know there's all kinds of government payments to sit around and do nothing and to claim your disability, whether it's a headache or something very legitimate, I don't know. But there's very many government payments and reasons not to go to work. But I encourage you today, whatever God has called you to do in the workplace, in the marketplace, get busy, find a job. If you're in that situation where you don't have meaningful work, you need to get busy and find a job and contribute to society, take responsibility for your place here in society, and find something meaningful to do. It will add joy to your life. It will add meaning and purpose to your life. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, Paul says, "Now those who are such," he's speaking about those who aren't working and contributing to the common good. "Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and they eat their own bread." And verse 13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." And so Paul encourages everybody, stay busy, mind your own business. Do something that contributes to society. Do something that keeps your hands busy, keeps your minds busy. people that don't have meaningful work are much more susceptible to attacks of the enemy. People that don't have meaningful work are much more susceptible to despair and depression. You need to find your place in society and get busy, take care of it, work your work in quietness, and take care of your own household and eat your own bread. Don't expect somebody else to pick up your shoes for you and take responsibility for you, keep you fed with food stamps, or keep your payments coming with some kind of disability that is not real a disability. You get busy and find your place in society and contribute and take responsibility for your place. Hebrews 12, verse 3, Paul says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself." He's speaking about Jesus Christ here. "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." And so you think about Jesus and the hostility that he faced and how he was eventually taken and nailed to the cross and he was sacrificed, his blood was shed for us that we could know him for all eternity. But what hostility he faced, and it makes our trials, it makes our tribulations look pretty minor, and we know that Jesus Christ suffered in all ways more than any other man. And so whatever you have been through, whatever temptation you face, whatever trials and tribulations you have in your life, understand this, that Jesus has been there before you. If you're suffering persecution because you're in ministry, understand that Jesus suffered persecution. He's been to every situation before you've been there. So you can trust him and you can trust the words that he has spoken over your situation. Well, understand this also, that God is always with you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. And I'm going to start here speaking about the story of Gideon, one of the great stories in the Old Testament. And if you have your Bible, turn it to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And the Lord speaks to Gideon while Gideon is in the winepress threshing out the wheat. Verse 11, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon thrashed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." So Gideon was so afraid of his enemy, the Midianites, and they were actually thrashing the wheat in the winepress so that nobody would see them and that they could get their wheat without being attacked or tormented by their enemy, Midianites. And that is us in many situations. We're cowering in fear. We have been tormented and attacked by the enemy to the point where we don't even want to do anything out in the open. And so it is God's will that you come out of the wine press, that you stand with the Lord. And so here's what the angel of the Lord said to Gideon. "And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?'" Well, I'm sure we've all been in that situation where we think, "Well, Lord, if you're here, why don't I see you? Why don't I hear from you? Why don't you help me find a job? Why don't you help me resist temptation?" And so it's often easy to point a finger at God and say, "God, you're not here." Or it's easy to point a finger at God or shake your fist at God and say, "God, where are you when I needed you? Where were you when I was being abused? Or where were you when I was being beat up? Or where were you if you care about me?" And understand this, that God cares about you. He loves you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. In all situations, he's there. We don't always see it, but understand this also. This is a fallen world. And so many things happen in this world. There are circumstances that we can't understand. There are ways of man that are very evil. The devil uses men to come against men and women, to come against you, to come against me. The devil uses them. And so there are many situations in life that we're not going to understand. But that doesn't mean that God wasn't there. Sometimes he will rescue you. But a lot of times we get in these situations because it's a fallen world. And sometimes we get in these situations because We have made foolish mistakes. We've made poor decisions. And so I just want you to know that the Lord is with you. And so Gideon is saying, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Well, in verse 15 of Judges 6, Gideon said to the Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in all Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And so we oftentimes have that same reaction to God. We say, God, how can I do anything? How can I save anybody? Even myself, I'm struggling. So how can I save anybody? And I just want you to know, beloved, when you step out in faith, even in your weakness, that is when God shows himself to be strong. There's many times when I have gotten ready to go to Africa, and I have been feeling very weak. I didn't necessarily feel strong even just to make the trip, let alone go over there and preach and do all the things that I've done over there. And not to boast, but I'm saying when you're feeling weak, that is when God will give you the strength to go. When you are feeling weak, that is when he will show himself strong and he will show himself mighty to save. We know that from the story of Gideon, as the story played out, Gideon did take his place with his clan, with the people of Israel, and they battled against the Midianites. And before even they went into battle, God started with 32,000 people with Gideon, and he sent a whole bunch of them home. He sent 22,000 of them home because they had fear in their heart, and then he sent a bunch more home, and then he took them down to the river and watched how they lapped the water. And Gideon ended up with 300 men out of that 32,000 that had started out with him. And God wanted to show him that it was not the number that was with him, it was the fact that God was with him that was important, and the number really was immaterial, that God was with him. And Gideon went into battle with pitchers and trumpets and torches. And Gideon was victorious in the battle, and God can send you into battle. You don't need physical weapons. You don't need any physical weapons. You can just go into battle with the spiritual weapons that God has given you, and you will be victorious, and you will be a conqueror. And God wants you to be victorious this day as you take up your spiritual weapons. Well, Deuteronomy 31:6, God says, be strong and courageous. He was speaking to Joshua here as Joshua was preparing to take the children of Israel into the promised land. He said, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. And verse 8 in that same chapter, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you, Joshua. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you, and do not fear nor be dismayed. Well, we are in the same situation as Gideon. We are in the same situation as Joshua. Life can sometimes be daunting. The tasks that we have ahead of us can sometimes look formidable. They can sometimes look like we can never be successful, that it's just too big for us. And I want you to know today, beloved, that God is with you, that you can defeat anxiety, you can defeat depression in your life. Just take it one step at a time. Thank the Lord for everything that he's done for you today, and get up tomorrow and thank him for giving you another day and for what he's going to do for you tomorrow. And then get in God's word, be encouraged by reading God's word, be strengthened through prayer and God's word, and also in the fellowship, be encouraged by being in the fellowship and receiving that encouragement from other believers. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear if these messages are striking a note of agreement with you, or what you think about them, what you'd like to hear taught or preached about here on the radio. And we have, for those of you who make a contribution, we have a book offer that will be explained here as we give you our contact information. Well, thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.